Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Well, it's coming. Right for us. Right for us.
Hampton.
Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take
OB.
It.
It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay.
Goss.
Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bear.
An OB show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Welcome in, 720 WGN. The Bears and Giants just going final. The Bears fall by a score of 22-16. You can watch us on CLTV, and of course you can listen to us on 720 WGN with you until 6 on radio, until 4 on TV. Bears had a 16-6 lead, guys, and they didn't score after that, and they end up losing by 6 points on a day when a lot of extra points were missed. OB, let's start with you.
Well,
your thoughts.
A couple of plays just before the end of the first half can sum up so far this 2-8 record, 2-7 going into this game. And again, the coaches, I have no idea on God's green earth what it is that they're thinking about. Sure as hell isn't professional football in the National Football League. This, to me, kind of sums up where the Bears are and what their thought process is, folks. With about 24 seconds to go in the second quarter, just before the end of the first half, it's third down. We're on New York's 46-yard line. It's third down and 20 yards to go. What do we do? The play that we call? Now, going into this game, folks, we're a 2-7 team, so we have nothing to lose. We're on their 46-yard line or so. What do we do on that third and 20? We throw a faded 3-yard and out play. 3-yard out. So it's 4th and 17 on approximately the 43-yard line with probably what? 15 seconds to go?
14 seconds.
14 seconds to go. Listen to this, folks. Why in the world of professional football wouldn't you take your wideouts on strong and weak side, set them on both on two fly patterns, take your flanker back or whoever might be out there, put them in motion, and run a deep post pattern. Try to score a touchdown. Try to win a football game. And yet, what do you guys do? You punt the damn football.
Well, here's
now, I ain't done yet. Now you think to me that this is crazy. This is insane. What the hell? What are these people trying to do? Think about what I'm telling you. We're a 2-7 team. A couple of seconds to go in the second half, instead of basically going for a Hail Mary or try to score a touchdown. It's set up for you to try to do that, and you don't, you punt the football, and you mean to tell me that we're trying to win a football game? Is that how smart our coaches are?
Well,
that's embarrassing, Glenn.
Okay, you gotta raise your hand to answer.
I wanted to say to you, Ed, the week before, we threw a Hail Mary and converted it into a touchdown.
I
that's what I wanted
that.
To but back up with you.
This is a philosophy. This is why you wonder – why the hell we're 2-7, now 2-8. This is a set
poor
of
coaching.
Downs that you're telling me we're trying to win this football game?
No.
Okay, let me just say this. It was more of the same from the Fox era.
Yep.
Guys,
this tells us who the Bears are.
Okay, the insane.
This tells us about their coaching staff.
The insane
gutless
play calling.
And weak is what you're saying.
The insane play calling, the missed blocks, the penalties, only camouflage the ineptitude of this coaching staff. I'm just saying, the whole thing is a box of garbage. And here, week after week, everybody's operating under the pretense, as you said, we're a professional football team that is not only, driven by the goal of winning football games, but we expect them to believe that. But how can you believe it when they do the nonsense that you just pointed out? And you're exactly right. It is a microcosm of the season, and a result is a 2-8 disaster.
Well, again, just let me say, I want to repeat again one more time. This set of downs tells you who we are, what we are, and why we are, where we are, and where the hell we're going. This is completely, that set of downs was nonsense, absolute nonsense, and I defy anybody on that coaching staff to convince me any otherwise.
Well, it gets even worse because you're right, Ed. That sums it up, because the week before they throw a Hail Mary and convert it into a touchdown. But in the fourth quarter, you have back-to-back series where Jordan Howard, who ran the ball exceptionally well in the first half, and we couldn't do it in the second half, but he drops a screen pass by himself, drops it on second down, drops a check down on third down. Third down and 11, next series, we're moving the ball. He's in the game, and guess what he does, Mark Carmen? He drops another third down pass that would have been a first down. Point is, you're the running back coach, and I don't care who he is, but how the heck do you not know that if Jordan Howard is in the game on third down and 11, that he's going to drop the ball after he's dropped two in a row in the series before?
I don't think his pass catching is one of his strong
points. Right,
but
you get what I'm saying. So there's where the running back coach, hey, I got the title running back coach. I'm paid exceptionally well to do this job. I should step in and say, hey, give me Carey. Give me Langford. Give me any back that I know can catch the ball, because I'm confident Jordan Howard won't. This is what we're talking about.
And exactly. And it's an ABC equation. Second half, it's a tale of two halves. In the first half, the Giants looked like they were dormant, and they let the Bears build a little bit of a lead. But at the second half, they had purpose. They came out realizing, hey, it's the Bears, and that's John Fox over there. Guess what? They went straight down the field and scored two touchdowns. And we were three and out, three and out. Now, Steve Spagnuolo, the very good defensive coordinator, just said, hey, we're going to put eight in the box. We're taking the running game away. Now what are you going to do? So then it becomes a grab bag offensive passing situation where, as you said, Kaz, you better have a receiving running back in there, somebody that is capable and not only fluent in catching the ball, but – is able to make the big plays, especially on check down situations, because we were getting heat. We were getting pressured. And you're exactly right. Three opportunities to make big plays. And we like Jordan Howard. Yeah. But guess what?
Don't put him in that position.
He's a rookie that can't catch the ball. Don't put him in that box. Don't make him do that. It's insane.
Hampton OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to react to the Bears' loss to the Giants. 22-16 as the Giants improved to 7-3. The Bears are now 2-8. Start of the show also sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group, sponsored by Martin Chevy. And don't forget, this week on Chicago's Best, Elliot is cooking up like Mama used to do. Join the search for the best comfort food. Chicago's Best, that Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. I have a bigger problem with that ending drive in the second half that we'll get to coming on back here. Just the whole clock management portion of it was ridiculous. So we'll do that, and a lot to do here as the Bears fall to the Giants. 22-16, CLTV, and 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hampton OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Here we go now, Hampton OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealers, ChevyDriveChicago.com. 312-981-7200. That's our phone number at 720 WGN. You can watch us till 4 o'clock on CLTV as the Bears fall to the Giants 22-16 in a game they led 16-6. Guys, let's do the Mueller game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Highland Park, Gurnee, Hoffman Estates, and Merrillville. You guys were talking about the last drive. To me, it was 3rd-and-1 at the Giants 41. They handed off to Lisicki. He picks up 5. There was a minute 22 to go. All right, now you have 1st-and-10. You're at the Giants 36. You wait until 43 seconds left to snap the football. That's 22 to a minute. That's 22 seconds plus another. That's 39 seconds they're taking with a minute to go in the half.
You're right.
I don't get that. I'm like, what are you doing?
It's right in front of you. It's right in front of you. What I said exactly before, that's who we are. That's the coaching staff we have. That's why we're 2-8. And boy, I'm going to tell you, we got 6 games left yet. Wow. Are you kidding me? This is, to the listeners out there, folks, this is beyond basic stuff. How is it possible that you could have a set of downs like that and another set of downs, what Mark just talked about, and you think you're going to win a game, and then you wonder why the hell we are where we are?
Well, that was the
it's
knock.
It's not a mystery to me anymore.
And that was the knock on Fox in Denver, right?
Yeah, he's look, when he's up, he gets passive. When he's down, he stays passive. So he's just a passive coach with a passive approach, and in the National Football League, it doesn't work well.
But here's the thing, though, Glenn and Dan and Mark. When they have meetings, when Fox calls his meetings of coaches, both offense and defense, going into each week, the following week, don't they talk about situations like this? They got to understand where they're at. Okay, what are our strengths and where are our weaknesses? How can we combat it? Our weaknesses, how can we maybe change a defensive call or an offensive call and make us better? That's what they should be doing. That's what they should be thinking about. And the theory of first down, second down, and third down. And to come up in this game and pull a very
well, and Mark,
a
Mark
very makes bad call.
Okay.
That was close.
But wait a minute. Why are we so mystified? And exactly, the game-changing moment was that sequence of downs.
The whole series.
And the entire – hey, when you have a chance – to go for the juggler, to put the dagger in the lackluster Giants.
Bingo.
You have a chance to dominate in the second. But no, we not only, you know, go passive, but to hit your point dead on the top of the nail, we're not prepared. It's that simple. We do not have a team that is prepared in any form or facet of the game. We don't know what to do in 2 minutes. We don't know what to do in hurry-up offense. Dow Loggins could not get the play in because he didn't know what play that he wanted to call. He was unprepared, which creates a chain of events where you burn almost 40 seconds, at critical seconds, at the end of the half where you have a chance to put your foot on the throat of the opponent. But no, why are we shocked? Fox is not prepared from August 1st all the way till today. Why are we shocked?
Well, Dan...
And that's a game-changing moment right there.
I don't know if we're shocked. I mean, I'm not. Hap, you're not shocked. Anybody, Hopi, are you
shocked?
Yeah, no.
I'm still get shocked at something like this.
Well, you would think
believes in the fairy, who? In the tooth fairy, and the Easter
Bunny.
Yeah,
I do. I want the damn Chicago Bears to win. Who the hell ever thought that at that – I can't get over this situation. At the end of the second quarter, and you're working, things are going for you? And this is what you're doing. We lose a game. I'm sorry I get a little upset something.
And here it is. Just not prepared.
God, when is this going to stop?
When when they roll over the coaching staff, unfortunately.
Yeah. You bring in somebody that's competent.
You're across the board.
If I'm Pace, our general manager, he and his staff are in my office tonight or tomorrow morning first thing. And I want an answer for this. I want an answer for this stupid theory of yours.
Well,
we're 2-8.
And Howard, being in the second half when you're now chasing, you're behind. Jordan Howard can't catch the football right now. He's not a good running back out of the backfield. And
Jeremy Langford was thrown to 3 times. He responded with 3 catches for 30 yards.
There's the guy.
Okay, let's do this. A-B comparison. Somebody that can catch, somebody that doesn't catch. Oh, let's put the guy that can't catch in the fourth quarter.
But that's what happened.
In crunch time when we're down, and all we need to do is score a touchdown.
To
and
win.
Maybe this time we'll kick
the extra point, right.
Maybe.
Hey, trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich.
Vuk!
JeffVuk.com. Serving our area for 38 years nationwide. On your side, JeffVuk.com.
And he is golden. By the way, anybody miss Robbie Gould after watching that corn God. Term of a game he had? Nobody misses him.
I'm laughing. So the one thing, and that's what I said when I walked in, hey, at least Ryan Pace got that right.
He made the
choice at the right time.
And let's go back to the very beginning. And I talked to some folks this week. The reason Fox is here is not Ryan Pace. It's Ernie Arcozy.
Yep.
He was the guy brought in by the McKeskeys to help the young Ryan Pace make a very critical decision. And we see how that's worked
out. Well, Ernie, of course, no wonder he's been a New York Giant his whole life. And we hire that guy.
And he knew we'd play him sooner or later.
To take us to the next level of intelligence.
A-O-B.
Wrong.
Did the Bears beat the Giants in 63, OB, on a big day?
You betcha, for the World Championship.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right over here, right in Chicago. We took the Giants down.
Yeah, and we did. And you know what? A guy named Y.A. Tittle was the quarterback, and he got batted around like a bad softball that day. But here's the deal. The guy sitting next to me intercepted the pass for a touchdown that created
one-handed
the opportunity for
grab,
the Bears to
I
win.
Might add, too.
And you know what? It was all because of the defensive pass rush. All week long, we heard from Pinnell McPhee how he was going to get after Eli Manning. I am sick of listening to this guy.
We're
guaranteed. Okay, read
quote.
It.
Here, I'm going to quote for Dan right here. I got the quote. This is Pinnell McPhee really putting the fear of God in the New York Giants. Wow, are they scared. We're going to tear his ass up. I don't care what everybody else thinks. We're going to sack him. He could throw the ball out anytime he wants. We're going to sack him. I'm going to make sure of that.
How many sacks
did he
have?
Make a tackle in the game?
He had one tackle.
Ah, there we go, Parnell. Keep your big mouth shut.
312-981-7200. With you till 6 on 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN and CLTV till 4. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. We're pouring over the box score here. You look at Jordan Howard's numbers, 17 carries for 77 on the ground. Behind a makeshift offensive line, that's a pretty good day.
Well, that was really all done in the first half. He had 71 on 12 carries.
And that's fair. The offense went completely south in the second half, Howard included. But you're talking about a guy who was targeted 8 times.
Well, let's set the stage of what we're talking about.
Jordan Howard.
Because
here is our contention, folks. And you're saying all we do is scream, oh, Fox stinks, Fox is bad. Okay, here's a coach's job is to not only evaluate his talent, but realize what everyone is capable of and not capable of. Now, Jordan Howard, we have no problem with the fact that this kid, he's a hoss, and we like to see him run. Now, when we're in catch-up mode, and we're going to have to be throwing checkdowns and utilizing the back out of the backfield, a coach has got to be smart enough. And, Kaz, during the break, you said a high school running back coach that makes the mistake of not recognizing what has to happen, you know, substitution-wise, you got to get him out of there and put in Jeremy Langford. Now, Langford was thrown to three times this afternoon. How many catches did he have, Cus?
He had 3 for 30, so he was perfect.
So he was basically doing what you know he's capable of doing. Jordan Howard was thrown to how many times?
8, and he caught one.
Now, as you said, a high school running back would have been a running back's coach. Not only should have seen this, and after the first, you know, batted ball down on the goal line where he couldn't even catch a little check down, but he would have got him out of there and put the proper player in to be able to do that, correct?
Yes.
But here's the thing. You got a head coach watching everything, and he doesn't have the sense to say to the running back coach, what the hell are you doing? Get him out of there and get Langford in there. Not once, not twice. But 3 times.
Actually, 7 to be exact, because he dropped 7. He didn't drop all 7, but I could count 4 times that he dropped a pass that was thrown to him in the second half. And you're right. You're the running back coach. You're in the National Football League. You're supposed to be the best of the best, and you don't know this.
Stan,
you don't deserve to keep your job. It's that simple.
What about the guy that is the head coach that allows the running back coach to be an idiot and not catch this?
Well,
game that you have got to win, you for a lot of reasons. After the debacle last week, OB, how can it? And again, we need some better players here and there, and injuries have been a factor. But this was a winnable game. This is a game we could have stuck the dagger in them at the end of the first half, and yet we basically not only collapsed, but we looked like fools the entire procedure.
Well, absolutely, Dan, and I tell you, you can take a look. And I mentioned the Bears had a schedule, folks, that you'd love to have year in and year out. I think it was there was only one other team. Our schedule, we were playing basically the worst teams in the league from week to week to week. And it was all set up for us, guys. All set up for us. Everything was right, and I don't want to go back into the draft and what we did here. I mentioned that so many times. But, Danny, I can tell you, you know, I'm as miffed as anybody is about common sense coaching. Players, I know they're out there. They're giving everything they have to the best of their ability. But don't tell me that John Fox and this coaching staff and this scouting team, a college and professional, and we go from and quality control people, and we go from week to week to week, and we basically show that we don't know what the hell we're doing. Let me say that again. We don't know what the hell we're doing. There's too many times in every game where we should take advantage of certain situations.
Matchups.
And exactly. And we don't do it. Folks, we're telling you. This is what's happening.
The word is incompetent.
Let me tell you, though, guys, to break it down even more, at the high school level, as coaches, what coaches do in high school, they identify the kid that isn't as good as the other players. You talk about injuries, right? So in the pros, you identify where have you lost a starter. That's where you're going to attack on defense. If it's on offense that you lost a lineman,
right,
you're going to attack there. You're going to blitz there because you're going to put that new guy on tilt and get the – we used to call it you stink player. Attack the you stink player and try to beat your opponent. These guys don't even think about that.
Okay, here's case in point. A game last week where we are down in Tampa Bay – getting flogged by the crappy Buccaneers, and yet they're down to their third-string center. Remember this?
Yes.
And it's a 3rd-and-9, and Jameis Winston, he's lighting us up. Why would you not put one of your best pass rushers on his nose and say, take him to the quarterback? We never even tried it.
Or Dan.
We never put nobody over.
That's the matchup.
The third string center.
That's
he snapped the ball and stood there.
That's what makes New England so good. They pick the you stink player and attack him. And it's all about matchups, guys. And our staff don't even understand it because they have Jordan Howard, who I love, in the game in passing
just
situations.
Just like we do here. We attack the weak link. Carmen,
yes,
on a weekly basis.
Thank
always.
You.
Let me tell you something.
That's what the Giants did coming out of the second half, by the way. They started blitzing a lot more. Go ahead.
When you have a center, okay, a center like our center who's never played the game before.
You better go after
and
him.
And you have a backup.
With a position.
A backup,
he's played the
a
game.
Backup playing. What you usually do, folks, is you incorporate your defensive blitz package.
Right up through there.
And what you do, you take your inside linebackers. If not, you take one down inside lineman with one inside linebacker, put them on each shoulder of that center. Or you put the two linebackers.
And blitz
you blitz the hell out of him and you trick him. The guy has no idea, I guarantee you, what's happening. And you'd put an end to their misery.
And you would change the complexion of the game. But no, we play stupid and compelled.
No,
Patrick O'Donnell, by the way.
What Danny is saying, folks, is true.
Complicit,
you're talking about a third string center, and we do not make the adjustment to put the pressure on him.
Up the middle. Blitzing should have come through there.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up, folks. You can't make it up.
Let's play one thing positive here and try to figure out who lit it up. It's sponsored by Nika IBEW.
Patrick O'Donnell. But finish it because we want them to get.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Who lit it up? Sponsored by Nika IBEW, Local 134 Chicago. Your complete energy solutions provider. Go ahead and honor the punter.
Well, look, six punts for 299 yards, right? 48.2 average, net 45.8. So that means there wasn't a lot of returns either. And he hit a 67-yarder, which flipped the entire fourth quarter in our favor, even though offensively we didn't have the right personnel.
Okay, after the first three possessions, he was our truly best weapon.
Okay, here we're now 2-8. Okay, 10 games. We've got 6 games left, folks.
Tennessee next week, baby.
The Bears had the second weakest schedule in the entire league. Okay, here's what Hampton was giving me. The next 6 games. All right, we're 2-8. Tennessee at home. Tennessee, they can't beat anybody. San Francisco, pathetic. Detroit, coming on. Green Bay, we can beat them. Washington, we can beat them. Minnesota, we can beat them. And then you go to Indianapolis in the front part. You go to Jacksonville. You go to Philadelphia. You go to Houston. What a schedule we had to take advantage of what's going on in the National Football League. And we don't, because we just don't play smart football, folks. Well, and that's after 10 games, Mark. I'm telling you, this is what I see. When I see certain situations that come like I played the damn game long enough. I know what the hell's going on out there. You're going nowhere with this stuff. You're going nowhere. You got an offensive coordinator that can't figure things out, what we've been talking
had no
about.
No plan at right
and,
before
and
half.
And what Dan mentioned, too, about you got an offensive lineman down, especially a center, and that's when you really bring it, folks. That's when you really bring it. Put the pressure on them, and we don't do it.
You know, and we're going to get into this more. And give us a shout if you can. We've got some callers here. But, guys, something we need to talk about is we actually looked somewhat competent the first three drives, but we could not adjust. After those first three drives, it was a clown car showing.
I thought the effort, as far as the players were concerned,
the effort's
was
always
there.
Great. It always is.
They got embarrassed last week. You know they're going to go out there and strut around and act like right. They know what they're doing.
Right.
But they don't.
Last week, I didn't think the effort. Today, they played.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at, though, so when they finally give the effort, our coaches don't put the players in the positions to make plays.
What you say, listen, what it is, if you got the guys are out there giving an effort, you know, I'm never going to take that away from them. Okay, some of them do slough off, but for the most part, they're all doing it. It's the game planning, offensively and defensively. That's what puts you in jeopardy. That's what makes it tough on you.
We'll get to your calls. I know you guys have been patient. We'll run through a bunch of them coming on back here. Bears lose to the Giants 22-16. It's Hampton OB with Kaz.
Hang in there, callers.
Presented by your local Chevy dealers, ChevyDriveChicago.com. On CLTV till 4 and 720 WGN.
We gonna tear their ass up. I don't care what everybody else did. I mean, he can throw the ball up anytime he wants. We gonna sack him. I'm gonna make sure of that.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OP Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
That was Pernell McPhee earlier in the week. Pernell McPhee did not have any sacks today. Hey, it's
his mouth works.
Yep, three.
He made one tackle.
312-981-7200. That's our phone line. That's our text line. It's 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. It's Hampton OB with Kaz with you till 4 o'clock, and we're also on CLTV until 4. Let's get some calls in here as the
Mark,
Bears.
Just let me say one thing real quick with Dan. We have I got text here from this kid Mike Benatursky.
Mm-hmm.
We are out coached every halftime. That's.
That's a fact.
That's been our theme all year, though. We've been saying for 10 weeks. Right?
Bingo. Right on.
Yeah. Bears lost to the Giants 22-16. If you're just joining us, Bears are 2-8.
More great listenership.
Damn right. They know what's going on.
No, they do. Let's get Calvin from Hyde Park here on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Calvin.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Listen, I want to say something about this football team. They play flat out stink. But the bottom line, this guy caught up, the guy bumped and kicked the ball. Hey, this guy need to get Barf in a bag. He's super bad. Why you get rid of Robbie Gould to get this guy on here? He can't even kick a ball. These guys can't block. They can't tackle. They can't buff a grape with a sledgehammer. And I'm sick and tired of spending $300 to go see somebody that's going to sit up and call spit, and you know the rest. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
You got it. Thank
all
right,
you. Calvin.
I got to tell you, though.
We feel your pain, man.
And I get
that's,
how
that's
you're frustrated
the,
with.
It's the passion of the Bear fan.
He's frustrated with our kicker, but, you know, truthfully, Robbie Gould was worse today than our guy who was, you know, but the problem is it's still hard to sell because you can't find better players than the two kickers that were out there today stinking it up.
His point is, at this level, I mean, he's a fan. Obviously, he loves the Bears.
Yeah, he's
frustrated. All want him to see do good, and this is what you're seeing week after week, you know. And you could hear the passion, Calvin. You could hear it in his voice.
You got to love that he's yelling about a kicker and the Giants kicker, who was a former Bear, went 1-for-3 today, kicking extra points. And we still feel like we could rather have that. All right, hey, John.
Well, you would.
Right, well.
I hate to say it.
That's 6 and 1/2 dozen the other, but whatever. Let's move on. John in Algonquin, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. First thing Monday morning, I get rid of the whole coaching staff. This is ridiculous. I don't understand why. When Miller winds down, we don't give Langford more of a chance either in a tight end position or in a 2-setback. I don't understand why we didn't throw the ball downfield a little bit more when the Giants brought up everybody on the line. And I don't understand on defense why we didn't put more pressure on the quarterback when we had a chance. I understand we have players that are a little less than average, but what happened today and last week was all on the coaching staff, not on the players.
Yeah, they get out-coached. Thanks, you're right, John. Thank you.
Hey, John, I have an answer for you concerning the tight end situation. This year, our tight end was gone. He's in New England, Bennett. We had a number one draft choice and a number two draft choice. Both times, we needed a tight end. We needed a tight end. Believe me, we needed a tight end. On the first round, we pass, and on the second round, we pass. And that's just the only answer I'm going to give.
One tight end got hurt today, too.
Okay, let's call it what it is.
We needed a tight end.
Okay, guys, and you're exactly right. But to emphasize this, Zach Miller missed the entire preseason because of concussion protocol. And now he's played at best maybe 50%, 60% of the plays. I like the kid. He had some big catches today. We can't count on him. I'm sorry. No, that is a part of this offense that has to be a staple.
Well, right.
And yet he's a sometimes performer. And then again, when he goes out, we've got some clown named Paulson. And let me tell you, I've watched this guy. That's the guy that got Cutler beheaded in the first series against the Philadelphia Eagles. He misses a block on a safety blitz, whacks Cutler in the head, and that game basically was shot. I'm just telling you, anytime this Paulson guy's around, something bad happens. So we do need a tight end.
Big man, don't hold back.
Well, we really need one now.
I'm sick of it.
You could tell when Zach Miller went off the field that something was dramatically wrong, and he's a guy that's had massive injury problems.
He's had a lot of injuries, right.
Well, so he broke his foot, so he's out for the season, broken right foot for Zach Miller, which is coming out of.
And we're sorry for that, but here's the thing.
Right.
Hey, he has been
you see tight
in
ends line up and play 16 games all the
have
time. I'm just saying
anything?
We got to find somebody reliable.
Have we heard anything on Floyd yet?
I have not seen anything on Floyd. I'll check that right now. But one more call before we get to a timeout here, 312-981-7200.
We get more gasoline.
Yeah, we do. Let's see. Jordan in a car. You've been waiting the longest. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, guys. I agree with everything you guys are saying today, especially about Fox. Let me ask you two quick questions, and I'll hang up and listen. First, correct me if I'm wrong, but Trestman and Lovie Smith are still on the payroll, right?
I would believe so. In some form.
Well, Lovie, I think, is officially off now. Because I think he had one more year on his contract, and he sat out that year that he got paid.
And he got okay. He's okay. Done. Trestman was.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, sorry. I was going to say, you think the Bears are going to really get rid of Fox after 1 year with this money tied up with him?
Two years.
About the Bears.
Second year.
Yes, exactly.
Second year.
He's got at least 2 more years on his contract, guaranteed money, right?
He's got. It's the second of his four-year deal here. They can afford it, Jordan. I don't know.
Yeah,
if he'll
I
do
don't
it.
Think that won't bother them.
Jordan, here's what could happen.
Okay.
If we blow the next 6 games, there is more than a strong possibility Fox and everybody's gone.
Which
we
is...
imagine to win a couple of these games. My belief is,
yeah, you're right,
gentlemen.
I'd agree with you.
And to you, Jordan, my belief is they will keep Fox, but the position coaches, a lot of them will be gone, and maybe one off. I think the offensive coordinator will be gone, and the position coaches will be gone if we manage to win a couple of more games, and Fox will be here.
The running back coach will be gone tomorrow.
But they will be there will be changes made in the position and the position coaches and the offensive coordinator.
Wait. That's unacceptable. I told you last week my mission is to get Fox run out of town. The fans need to realize this is on the wrong trajectory. Think about this, folks. From opening kick last year till today, is it a better team? Is there a better player that's playing better today? I'm just saying, the arrow is down all across the board.
With better talent.
You can't turn it around by saying, oh, we're going to keep him. It doesn't change that.
Here's one thing to back you up on that, Dan. Remember I told you about we got the second weakest schedule in the National Football League? These lousy football teams are beating us.
Hey, let's do the defensive star of the game on our bad team, which is brought to you by your local Chevy dealer at ChevyDriveChicago.com. You want to give it to Danny Trevathan?
Yes, he had 11 tackles. Go ahead and finish up his stats.
Danny Trevathan, Kaz, was all over the field like he was. That guy's been consistent every single week, right?
He and Freeman. Yeah, both of them.
Both those inside linebackers are playing at a Pro Bowl level. And you know what? The crying shame is we cannot get any kind of support in other areas week to week to where it manifests itself into the point where, hey, people across the country are realizing, wow, those guys are really playing good football. They're under the radar.
11 total tackles for Trevathan, 10 for Freeman, 9 solo for Trevathan, 8 for Freeman. Again, all over the field. Hey, we'll hear from John Fox coming on back here. I know you're excited.
Oh, I can't wait. And by the way, did Danny Trevathan say he was going to tear somebody's ass up? No. He went out there and he did it.
And Freeman run his
neither, mouth. Neither did Freeman. They kept their mouths shut.
And they make tackles all over the field.
There's one
and play
basic
football.
Rule. Don't open your mouth. Let your actions do your speaking for you on that field.
312-981-7200. Couple lines open for you now if you want to jump on in. Thank you to CLTV. We're on 720 WGN.
Backpedaling away from pushing. Fumble. Balls loose. Who's got it? I think the Bears recovered it. Jason Pierre-Paul came in with the sack and forced fumble, but the Bears got it back. It's a second and 29 for Chicago. Pressured again. Steps, he fires. Intercepted! It is Landon Collins for the fourth straight game.
Some highlights / lowlights from today's Bears loss to the Giants, 22-16. Bears are 2-8. This is Hampton OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealers, ChevyDriveChicago.com. About to hear from the head coach, John Fox. Start of the 4 o'clock hour, sponsored by Martin Nissan and sponsored by Parent Petroleum. Hamp?
Let me just say this. For, as bad as Cutler was a week ago, it was not a Cutler, disaster today. Cutler threw the ball pretty doggone well. And with the protection that, if you want to call it that he was afforded. But, I never thought for one second, Kaz, that I'd be saying, I miss Bobby Massey, the right tackle. Mike Adams got ragdolled time after time after time by Jason Pierre-Paul, and the sack we heard on that highlight right there was in a critical state in the game where we needed protection. We did not get it. So, for all the injuries along the offensive line, Bobby Massey is the one that really sticks out.
Yeah, Justin went out with an ankle injury. Who knows if he'll be back next week versus the Titans. You had a bunch of injuries today. Zach Miller broke his right foot, so I would assume he's out for the year, although that's not official, but you wouldn't think he'd be coming back with 6 games to go. And, we'll get to Hot Fox in 1 second. Any thoughts real quick here on what happened with Alshon this week as far as the PED use and suspended for 4 games?
Well, that, quite honestly, stupid is all you can say. All those, these supplements and all this stuff, if somebody's looking for answers, go out there and practice. Work harder. And I understand, they're looking for an edge. Guess what? It gets you a suspension, costs you almost $4 million. It's stupid.
Well, to me, when I look at something like that, Mark, I look at its total disrespect to everybody in the organization. I mean everybody. To his fellow players, to the coaching staff, everybody, ownership, because you're going to take it upon yourself to play your own little game and do your little own thing when you damn well know it's against all the rules, and you think you're going to pull this off because you're a selfish idiot. That's the way I look at it. And to me, that total and complete disrespect to the rest of his, to his teammates, coaches, and the Bear organization, this kid can go where it burns real hard.
I'm sorry, guys. Go ahead. My bad.
You
switched mics on me. My bad.
It's all right. No, I would say this.
Accountability.
Look, he wanted to be paid a franchise tag. Well, he's no longer that franchise guy. This sums it up. And that experiment or your hope for him, it's gone now. And you just move on. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, right. Forget about how great he thinks he is.
Doesn't matter.
What he shows or whatever. My God, you take it upon yourself to pull a stunt like that. To go, it's everything that's right and true about this game when you're on top of the world, so to speak. You know, shame on you, buddy.
Well, and it'd be a lot more painful, too, if you flip the record, they were 7 or 8 and 2 rather than 2 or 7. But it's still, you can't have it.
But with Kevin White out and the receiver core being a chronic problem the entire season, for it to happen now, of all times, this is where a franchise, quote, franchise player makes a difference and makes plays. And what's he doing? He's on wherever he's at watching.
Let me ask you a question, Dan. You're out there playing, giving everything you have, scrapping and fighting and knocking off blockers, trying to make a tackle, trying to get and doing all that. And you got a teammate who takes it upon himself to pull a stunt like that. What would you think of the guy? I know you wouldn't say it publicly, but
no.
I assume you would, whenever you saw the guy, you would know. He would know what your feelings are, I would assume. Am I correct in
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. And, you know, I played 12 years. A bunch of those kind of guys, I wrote them off. And that's what the Bears should do, write him off.
Yep.
Let's hear from the head coach, John Fox. Bears lose to the Giants 22-16, the Foxinator.
Craven LeBlanc, concussions in the protocol. Josh Sitton, right ankle, did not return. Leonard Floyd, right now, neck. He's at the hospital getting further evaluations. Well, we'll keep you posted. Some of his movement, things look good or encouraging, but he's going through the necessary tests. Like I said, we'll keep you updated. And then Christian Jones back. He did return. Any questions?
Do you anticipate Floyd being able to travel with the team, or will he stay?
I don't know that at this time. He's still at the hospital, like I said.
Did you get a sense of how he was handling it, John, when you were out there, and what was going through your mind as that was kind of unfolding?
Well, I think, it appeared it was on a tackle. I don't know if he's, I'm sure they're evaluating for concussion as well. But, you know, anytime they bring the card out and the board out, they've got some neck concerns. He seemed to have pretty good movement skills at that point. But, until they do, different scans and whatnot at the hospital, it's hard for me to say. But when that occurs, whether he makes it back on the team flight or not, or he stays here in New Jersey, like I said, we'll keep you updated.
How would you sum up this game?
It's a loss. It's only a win or a loss, and albeit very disappointing. We did have some injuries. We had some guys step in, and did okay, just not quite well enough. But a loss.
What about the challenge, the conditions today, especially the place kicking, seem to be an issue?
I mean, both teams have to deal with it, so it's, it's equal. The win was kind of a crosswind, a little bit of a favor, on our bench from left to right. But, all in all, I think it was more of a crosswind. I think probably affects snaps, affects kicks, affects passes. So anybody that has the ball, it does affect it.
I know you don't like using injuries as an excuse, but it's just hard to wrap your mind around the sheer number of them. And not only today, but this season.
Well, I mean, we just, you get down the depth chart, so to speak. But, it's a resilient group. They're working hard and preparing hard. I think, they were prepared good enough to win the game. We just came up a little short.
Is this as much attrition as you've dealt with?
It's up there. Like I said, I've been doing it for a little bit, so it's hard to remember 27 years ago. But it's up in the top five for sure.
Zach's reaction seemed like he knew right away.
Yeah, he has a similar injury as he had on his other foot. So I think, he kind of knew right away from experience.
What did you feel was the difference? Because the first job, you took the lead early, you had the lead. What do you think the difference after that?
You know, I think I thought to come out in the second half, we did have the lead, but it didn't last very long. They made it down the field. You know, they had an explosion play on a scramble by Eli. You know, then we didn't execute a coverage very well, so they were on the board pretty quick. So, you know, all in all, it's an NFL game. And two teams competing that typically come down to, you know, a low score or one score game, and there's usually three or four plays that make the difference.
McKee was pretty outspoken before the game. Were you okay with that? How did you think you backed it up with
feet? I'm sorry. You know, Pernell's a passionate guy. I don't really follow much in the media as far as what's said, what's not said. But, you know, whatever it was, you know, I'm sure it was probably aggressive and positive.
To clarify, Zach, by similar, you mean another break in his foot?
Yes, yes.
And on for Leonard, just to clarify the movement skills, does that mean he could move his extremities okay?
It appeared that way on the field. You know, I'm not a doctor. He's getting tests way more sophisticated than I know about.
So there you go, John Fox, who doesn't follow the media and what Pernell McPhee said, which I guess is fine, whatever.
Yeah, but that explains to you what a complete jackass this guy is. I'm sorry, he's a jackass. And I can't stand listening to him talk, watch him coach, or anything about what this guy does. You're right, Dan. This guy needs to be packed up and shipped out of town.
Absolutely.
He has no business coaching in the NFL anymore.
Okay, and just to further the point that we were trying to make at the outset here, you know, that microcosm of that last possession of the at the end of the first half, we came out with an effective game plan. We had a touchdown, a field goal, a touchdown. The Giants countered. We played chess. They played checkers. We go punt, 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 missed field goal, punt, 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 interception. That tells me you have a coaching staff not only unprepared for the possibility of somebody making adjustments, but that you're incompetent about making said adjustments at any given time. We cannot find a way to counter when other teams make changes.
Dan.
And that's coaching.
Dan.
Or lack of.
That's you. You precisely, my friend, which goes back to the remaining seconds before the end of the first half with those unbelievable calls, and the situation was totally mishandled by the coaching staff, folks. Totally and completely. And then you wonder why we're 2-8.
Hey, it's time now for Who Brought It today, sponsored by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois Card. You know what to bring through it all. Anybody jumping out on Who Brought It today?
Well, the only player that in my mind was being a difference-making, you know, player was Zach Miller up until the point where he got hurt. You know, Cutler, like I said, Cutler, he was throwing the ball when he was presented with time. He was making a lot of quality throws. But Zach Miller, he would be the closest thing to a difference maker today. But, again, he broke his foot. And after that, we had no answers.
He had three catches today for 61 yards, plus the first touchdown of the game. He was targeted three times for those three catches. So every time Cutler threw the ball to him, he caught it. And unfortunately for Zach Miller, apparently his season is over. The broken right foot, so he finishes it up with 44 catches on the year, 425 yards, three touchdowns.
And that's Ed's point again about the fact that they needed a tight end. It's not because nobody doesn't think Zach Miller isn't a great player, but he unfortunately in his entire career has never been able to make it through a season. So
he was banged around the league 4 years, couldn't stay healthy,
right?
And we want him to, folks. What we're saying, listen, it's about plays on the field. And if you're hurt, you can't make plays on the field.
It's about the time when things happen. We get rid of Bennett, our big 6'7" tight end, goes to New England. The draft is coming up. We had Miller here and basically nobody behind him. First round, no. Second round, we don't draft. And we had chances to draft a tight end. We needed a quality tight end. We didn't do it. Look at where we're at. I just keep going back to this. The incompetence just rings hard and runs through everything.
Hey, Mark Sapelsa travels to a small town to confront a big bully. Why one Illinois family says this bully went too far, WGN-TV investigates. That's Monday at 9. Just for the record, Martellus Bennett has 38 catches.
Well, we'll send McPhee after him. he'll handle that big bully.
And by the way, he's been injured all year and has played all year with an injury, I might add, too.
Yeah, Martellus, Mark. He's had a decent season. All right, we will quick timeout, 312-981-7200. Adam Hoge from Giants Stadium coming up at 4:30. Try to slip in Jay Cutler as well. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Adam Hoge will join us right after the 4:30 news from MetLife/Giant Stadium. Let's hear real quickly from your quarterback, Jay Cutler, who I actually thought played
He was solid today.
I thought he played a good football game. Here's Jay after the game.
You know, we couldn't run the ball very well. You know, we got into some passing situations. And, you know, that's kind of getting into the strength of their defense.
So what was the key early on to kind of establishing that rhythm those first three drives?
I thought we were running the ball. We were getting downhill. You know, we were getting our backside cutoffs, front side, we were good. Putting ourselves in third manageable situations.
How do you even describe this injury epidemic right now with all the guys in
town? Crazy. It's crazy. You know, I saw Sid get rolled up. I knew he was probably done. And then Zach came running off the field and told me he was done. You know, it's hard. You know, obviously injuries are part of the game. And we're a situation where we got to replace him with somebody. But, you know, they're starting to add up pretty quickly.
How tough is it with that, especially without Jeffries to begin with and then without Miller?
Yeah. Well, you know, those two guys make a lot of plays for us. And Zach, well, he started off hot. We were getting him matched up against some linebackers, which we felt pretty strong about going into this game. You know, and not to have those two guys, it's difficult. But, you know, we had a chance at the end of the game. The defense did a great job. We were kind of flipping field position back and forth that fourth quarter. And we got a shot. We had a shot there at the end to go down and win it, which is all we can ask for.
Completion you had to Marquise to start that final drive. What was keeping springing him open up the sideline there?
That was a great call by Dal. You know, we knew they played a little bit of palms out there. They brought the nickel. And, you know, one-on-one out there. I thought Q ran a great route. Jesus. You know, we were fortunate there to get a good first play and try to kick it off.
He had a chance to score there with the point where you saw when you released it?
I thought so. He didn't.
Is it tough when you just have so many games like this year where you're in the game but you can't seem to get over the hump?
That's hard.
It looked like you slipped on the interception. Yeah. What happened on there?
I don't know. I feel like I got clipped or something. I don't, maybe I didn't, but you know, I went to step and my foot just kind of bounced a little bit and got a little bit wide. Well, I got wider than I wanted to, and hips couldn't work then, couldn't get through the throw and came out flat. You know, we're trying to put it over the top to Q, give him a chance there versus cover two defense because yardage there to pick up.
So that was Jay Cutler, and he did it. The Bears, listen, they had the football, OB, with 1:49 to go, first and 10, at their own 22. They got into Giants territory. And,
yes, they did.
You know, they had a shot at it, and, it, you know, they had a bad penalty as a holding call. And so, anyway, Cutler gave him a shot, just didn't work out at the end.
Absolutely. Well, the whole point, Mark, is what I've been saying week after week. Just decisions. I mean, it's got to come down to some kind of a Hail Mary, some kind of a play sent from the heavens or whatever have you to win a football game. That's not the way this game is supposed to be played. Okay, and I understand it happens. But, you know, you got to come in, you got to have a great game plan, and it's got to be executed by the players. And I don't think that's a mystery. But all you got to do is look at some of the teams around this league. They seem to do it. New England Patriots, you know what I mean? They've got Tom Brady. They got a quarterback. He's 6'5". He can throw the football. He has maneuverability. But Bill Belichick, their head coach, what does he do? The number one thing he does, he keeps Brady upright. He's got five guys in front of him year after year after year whether it's trades or drafts, whatever he does, he knows that that's the most important thing. You got to have that offensive line. And if they don't have an offensive line, they could have Tom Brady, they could have Aaron Rodgers, anybody they want. If they have five guys up there that cannot block and carry the load, down you go. It's very simple. Bill Belichick understands that year after year. That's why Brady is going to Hall of Fame. And that's the reason why, because of Bill Belichick is a smart man.
Coming on back, Adam Hogue from New York. Bears lose to the Giants 22-16. This is Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealers.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Time to go out to New York, Hamp and OB with Kaz. Hi, Obi. How are you, sir?
Very good, Mark. Good. And how are you doing, son?
The best part of the show tends to be off the air when I don't know what goes on when Hamp and Obi are in the corner and they're talking deep. There's deep things going on over there, cuz.
High finance, kid.
Is that what it is?
That's what
a little,
it is.
A little high finance.
High finance.
Hey, Adam Hogue, his locker room report sponsored by C.J. Wilson Mazda online at ZoomNation.com. The injury report, which Adam is going to bring us, is brought to you by the Rogers Auto Group in the New South Loop. Quite a day with the injuries, Adam Hogue. Why don't we start with the most serious, and that being Leonard Floyd, who was carted off, and then we can move to Zach Miller. What can you tell us?
Yeah, quite a day, quite a season, guys. This is ridiculous. Leonard Floyd, the news is good. He did have movement in his extremities. They were being very, very careful, as they have gotten over the years with these types of situations. He did go to the hospital. He did have movement. What John Fox wasn't able to tell us was whether or not Leonard Floyd would go home with the team tonight or not. But the good news is that he should be, at least in terms of serious things like paralysis or anything like that, he should be in the clear. So ultimately, most likely, he will just end up in the concussion protocol. As for Zach Miller, tough blow for that guy whose whole career has sort of been defined by injuries. We've seen the talent the last couple of years, but he suffered a similar injury as the last time he broke his foot, and John Fox did confirm that that foot is broken. So he is lost for the year. Another key piece from this Bears offense that's going to be gone. And then Josh Sitton suffered an ankle injury. His right leg was in a boot after the game, and that offensive line looked completely different once he came out. Cutler was really running for his life. And then the other one was Cravon LeBlanc, who might not be the best cornerback in the world, but that secondary was also reeling later in the game with everybody who was hurt. LeBlanc has a concussion, so he'll be in the protocol as well.
Hey, Adam, I got to ask you, why is it that the coaching staff, and that was me coughing because I'm trying to keep my food down from watching this over and over again. Why was Jordan Howard in passing situations when he was 8 targets, 1 catch, what, 4 drops? I just don't get it.
Yeah, if you would have told me in halftime that Jordan Howard wouldn't have 20 rushes, I would have said you're crazy, because much like the first half last week in Tampa, this offensive line was opening up huge holes and he was running the football very well. And yet he only finished with 17 carries when it was all said and done. I didn't like how they handled that 2-minute situation before halftime. There was time to run the football a couple times. They had 2 timeouts. Instead, they let 35 seconds bleed off the clock before they threw it 3 straight times.
Well, that summarizes their whole season. I mean, they don't manage the clock. And it goes with even the running back coach. I mean, look. 3 targets for Langford, 3 catches. Instead, they have Jordan Howard in passing situations. You're behind, you're trying to pass, and he's dropping everything thrown his way. I mean, to me, that's unexcusable as a coach.
Well, and some background on Howard, he really was not asked to catch the ball a lot at Indiana at all. That was one of the big question marks we had at training camp. Now, I don't think that this has been a huge issue this season with him. It was certainly an issue today, and he had 4 drops by my count, 4 flat-out drops, which is not good, at least from my own standards. But, yeah, 8 targets and 1 catch, that's just not going to get it done.
But it was, you know, that was in the second half. I guess my point is, nobody slammed it. I'm happy Jordan Howard is on this team. But isn't that the coach's responsibility to understand position, situation, downs, things like that, game planning? Look, great. We played a great first half, yet the Giants went into halftime. They're coaches. real pro coaches, made adjustments, and they beat us. I mean, they took us apart in the second half.
You see that?
And really got into the, the Giants kind of tried to milk the clock late instead of throwing the ball in the beginning of the fourth quarter, would have put the Bears away.
Yeah, and I don't think the Giants played all that well today. I mean, from their standards, especially defensively, boy, were they flat in the first half, I thought, really playing on their heels. And I didn't have a great feeling at halftime, guys, because it just knew the Giants could play a lot better.
Right.
Did I think the Bears were going to be shut out the second half based on what they had done in the first? No, not really. But I guess when you consider they lost Zach Miller and Josh Sitt, not to make excuses, but seriously, guys, there's six games left, and it's almost getting dangerous with the type of players they have out there at this point. They had a guy that they signed the other day off their practice squad. I can't remember his name right now, the defensive lineman.
And C.J. Wilson.
But that was the guy they signed just on the street. They brought that other guy up too. And he has never played a down in the NFL before, despite being on five different teams in 3 years. So that just shows you where they're at right now with guys on this team. Staten, the defensive tackle, and he ended up not even playing tonight, so he still hasn't played a down in the NFL.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of teams are going through the injury bug, and in spite of all those things, the Bears still had a chance to win this game if they could have maybe done some things differently, like. I bring it up because, again, Jordan Howard dropped a critical 3rd-and-11 pass that I think Langford probably would have caught or Kerry would have caught. And what does that matter? You know, that little bit means a lot, Adam, correct? I mean,
I agree. Can I also point out that I think the defense is guilty of that stuff today, too? You had chances for game-changing type plays to help a banged-up offense. You had Amos drop the easiest interception ever. You had, a ball bounce up into Josh Bellamy's arms.
A receiver of all people, right? A wide receiver.
A guy you put out there on your hands team, an onside kick situation, to secure a football like that. And had he done it, he actually maybe could have even run it back for a touchdown.
Well, you can't advance a muff in the NFL,
right.
He should know that. But, I mean, Bellamy should have known that. So even trying to, really it was one of those things where you just try to fall on it and secure the ball. I think in that split second, I agree with you, Adam. I think he didn't know that rule that you can't advance it, and he was trying to advance it, and he missed it.
And Cravon LeBlanc misses that easy fourth down tackle where he concusses himself. And that's the fourth down type of play that a great defense needs to make. And it cost him 3 points because Robbie Gould knocked in the field goal.
The only one he made all day, I might add. But that too, though, go back to that. I mean, you know, Leonard Floyd, and I'm grateful that he's not – you never want to see anybody get hurt, seriously. But that was poor technique. He led with his head. His head was down. The kid that got the concussion on that tackle you talk about, poor technique, poor fundamental, and he misses the tackle. At some point, that's position coaching, isn't it, too?
Yeah, and it's, at this point, it's the most basic head-up type stuff they're teaching kids, too.
I get it. I understand. Yeah. But you got to admit, it's like, why can't our guys do the little fundamentals right, and it keeps them from winning a lot of ball games because we can't do the little things right?
Yeah, and I think that it was very clear today.
I got a question back to the top when we were discussing the ineptitude of that final possession where we let the clock burn 35 seconds for no reason because of incompetence. We didn't know what we had planned. We didn't have a plan, and so we stumbled around. We didn't get anything going. We wind up going, into 3rd-and-20, and then we failed to even attack the end zone with virtually nothing left on the clock, 15 seconds. Instead, it just highlights the fact that, Dow Loggins is completely out of position trying to make plans when we don't have one. Now, okay, we came out the first three series. We had a touchdown, field goal, touchdown. And then Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator of the Giants, made some adjustments. And then from that point on, we didn't have a clue. But more importantly, Fox wouldn't call a timeout. Last week he was calling meaningless timeouts at the end of the game. And then running his mouth saying, oh, I never quit. I never give up. Go back and watch the film. Not only did they give up, they didn't have a plan. Does anybody, as far as the media, ever confront him with these type of questions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have talked to him about clock management, not only after games, but on Mondays, too, you know, multiple times. Because to me, that's the most baffling thing about his time as a head coach. Really, at least the last 2 years, it just doesn't seem like they're not only – like you brought up, Hamp, it's not just the timeouts, which I disagree with, the way he's handled that, but also just the plan. You're right. Because to me, right there before halftime, you had two timeouts. They got the ball with like 3:30 left on the clock. They had plenty of time. Right. And they're just sitting there milking it and milking it and milking it. And then it gets to the point where there's like about a minute left, and you still have two timeouts, and they basically huddled. It wasn't a full huddle, but it was sort of a half huddle. And then they come out and they throw the ball three straight times, and they never even use those timeouts. And to me, you know, you don't have to, I guess, run up to the line of scrimmage, but have a plan. Run right. The ball once or twice. Use those timeouts. But see,
that highlights our point that this should have been – situations that they had, you know, organized, planned, and prepared for all the way back in, guess what, preseason.
Yeah, training camp, right.
And
situation football.
And here it is, week 10, and we're as incompetent today as we were back in August.
Yeah, and it's not like they didn't practice it. I watched it with my very own eyes, but I'm with you guys. It's very confounding that they can't put it together in a game.
Adam, we'll read you at WGNRadio.com, Adam Hoge's Bears blog, recapping yet another Bears loss. Oh, go ahead.
One last thing. You know, obviously, a part of the subplot this week was Pernell McPhee running his mouth.
Yeah.
Did you have any comments by McPhee after the game? When basically they threw it 36 times, zero sacks.
Yeah, he did talk. I have that for you guys. I wasn't actually there because I'm running between two places, but I know he did talk after the game. And what I want to find out, too, and I can't wait to see the snap counts, because it wasn't just a matter of him not backing up his words, which obviously he didn't do, but he wasn't even on the field. Like, did he get hurt early on in the game? Because even after Leonard Floyd got hurt, they went to Sam Acho instead of Pernell
McPhee.
So that was pretty telling. So I don't know if he's dealing with that knee again. And if so, that's concerning, because are we going to go through this whole thing another year?
But why run your mouth then if you're not going to back it up? It's amazing.
Yeah. When he did that this week, I was surprised, because at that point, you're 2-7. What's the point of giving a team that's better than you?
Yes.
Any kind of motivation. It was just kind of – the timing was weird.
Okay, one last thing. Did you ever think that you would be missing Bobby Massey at this point?
No, I didn't. But, man.
Mike Adams had two holding calls and gave up 2.5 sacks.
And got just pushed back half the time.
He was just battered the entire day.
Yeah. And Leno gave up that sack, too. He may have been pulled down a little bit, but still. You know, when Josh Sitton came out of the game, it's like they lost any kind of cohesion or anything. I mean, guys were just running free right through the line.
Adam, great stuff. We'll read you at WGNRadio.com, my brother.
All right, good stuff, guys. See you.
Thank you.
Adam Hoge.
I don't really think that it was the injury to him. I know you got to go to timeout, and we'll talk about it when we come back.
Great job, Kaz, 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Bears lose to the Giants 22-16. Taking your reaction right now, 312-981-7200. John in Streamwood has been waiting patiently, and now on 720 WGN. John, let it out. Go ahead, man.
What drives me nuts about the Bears, and they've done this consistently for years, 3rd and 9, they throw 8 yards. 3rd and 7, they throw 6 yards. why are they even running routes short of the first down on third down?
Good question.
Explain this.
It's poor. It's poor coaching. Poor poor scheming. And really, you know, a defense will give you those kind of throws because they come up and tackle you. So you got to work to get to those spots.
Absolutely. Sir, let me just also say this. It's compression. During the course of a game, a team that is ill-prepared, they'll think, okay, I got to run this route. And everything is done in an accelerated fashion. And they'll think they're at 9 yards, but they're really at seven and a half. And they'll cut it off. And that's what you have, a very poorly coached and disciplined team. And ultimately, the only way you can cure that is to be competent. And, you know, I say this all the time. Risk is a word that is used for people that don't know what they're doing. Well, we don't know what we're doing as far as implementing the passing game, the blocking schemes, all this stuff. It's a mishmash, and it's very poor coaching top to bottom.
John. Well, when it's 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 7, we're given a little bit too much credit. They don't go 3rd and – if it's 3rd and 8, they don't throw – you know, they don't go 7 yards.
Yeah, they throw 4.
We throw about 3, maybe 2. I remember so many – I couldn't tell you how many times over the past 15 years I've seen the Bears throw – A no-yard wideout.
Yeah.
When it's 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7. I don't have an answer for you.
We will come back after 5 o'clock with more of your reaction. 312-981-7200. We'll have our drive of the game. We'll have the QB comparison. Cutler actually played a pretty good football game today. We're with you till 6.
We get the caller. We tell
them. We're going to get to the – yes.
Hang in there, caller.
Hang in there, callers. 312-981-7200. Sam in Burbank, you're up first after the news. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hey, we got 1 hour to go. Do not miss a moment. We're with you to dissect, to be with this Bears.
To educate.
That's
to
right.
To help.
I mean,
to reach for the stars. I want to make you great, Mark.
Well, thank you, Kaz. I appreciate that. And these are not easy times. Any way you look, 22-16, the Bears are 2-8. Hampa, we've been getting texts in here today asking if you want to coach the team. I'm assuming you don't want to do that. But let's just put you in the position of, hey, Hamp, we're going to give you whatever amount of dollars it would take for you to coach this team for the rest of the season. What would you try to accomplish from this point forward? Let's go there.
Okay, and see, all that is really – I've never coached. All I know is I can identify smart coaches, good coaches. The Bears have one on their roster right now. His name is Vic Fangio. And you know what? The reason Vic Fangio is here is because the 49ers, in another of colossal blunders, did not extend him the offer of being the head coach. And since then, they've hired two other coaches that have busted out. All I know is that, you know, everyone wants to throw their hands up in the middle of the air and go, oh, we can't fire Fox in the middle of the season. Again, I go back, are we a better team today than we were in the opener against Houston? No, we're not. The trajectory of the team is going south. Why wait until January to try to turn it around? And come on, let's all be realistic. This is a team that has proven not only once, twice, three times, but now 8 times they are not prepared to play NFL-style caliber football. And you can say what you want about, oh, well, if Vic Fangio is so great, why isn't the defense? Well, guess what? The defense, if it wasn't for the defense, boy, we would really be in a world of hurt.
We'd be 0-10 right now.
Absolutely. But Vic Fangio is still not able to do the things that he wants, implement certain changes, I'm sure. And essentially, what you're looking at is, okay, you give Vic Fangio the opportunity, and then at the end of the season, you reevaluate and see if you want to keep him. A lot of coaches will take the reins. They'll make changes. They'll change the direction of the attitude of the team, the performance of the team, and good things, you know, you build upon it. But why would you wait and keep this guy, this bumbler, at the controls for six more weeks and allow this team to not only become more of a punchline, a gag, the butt end of jokes, but you're going to get players hurt when you don't play the game in the right form, fashion, and an attitude. A lot of injuries occur. Why would you even want to go down that road? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Is Sam still on the phone?
You want to talk to Sam?
No, I would just. I'm gonna.
Sam's on the phone.
I'm gonna put my two cents into this.
Please do.
Okay, what you do to last six games?
Hey, Obi, your two cents right now.
There's nothing left. There's going to be no coaches change. There'll be nothing happening for the next six games. The only thing I could tell you what could occur to make things different. Okay, very very simple. Be more aggressive. Okay, God's not going to help you. Going to church and praying is not going to help you. Common sense football, the people that you have, go after your opponents. Be aggressive on both sides of the ball. Regarding the 2017 season, okay, if you do make a coaching change, before that happens, if you're Pace, our general manager, you better know what is your plan up for winning, okay? We're not talking about winning our division. I mean, coming in second in our division or a winning record. It's only one thing you do. You win the world championship, the Super Bowl, period. Nothing else. There are some teams around the league that have a pretty good philosophy. You win up front. And what I would want to hear from a new coach, if so be it there is going to be a new coach, you got to have five guys offensively to win up front to keep your quarterback upside, and defensively, you better have three guys or four guys with three or four linebackers that are ready to go after people and get it done. I mentioned earlier, Sam, all you got to do is look at New England and Bill Belichick. He's got Tom Brady. Every year, what do you hear about Tom Brady? They're in the hunt, going to the Super Bowl. He leads the league in passing, completions, and everything. The only reason why, Sam, he or any other quarterback is like that is because the coach figured out that you got to have five people get a tight end to help block or a back chip block to keep the quarterback upright. Why? Because it's a passing league. It's a passing league. You better have the studs up front to make Brady or whatever your quarterback's name is to have a functioning offense. Otherwise, according to the rules, you're going nowhere. You're not going to run your way to the Super Bowl. It'll help you, but boy, the rules give you to pass the ball, and you better have guys that can block to keep your quarterback, Jay Cutler, upright. And so far, we've done a great job of not doing that.
Absolutely, and Matt Slauson was our best offensive lineman, and we let him walk out of town.
Hey, look, guys,
that tells you everything you want to know.
That's what I would love to ask Pace. What the hell in the name was right?
They wanted to get more athletic is what he said.
About this game that you let one of the best offensive linemen go, which would have made our tandem of Long and Slauson the best inside guard tandem in the league, and you let this guy go? And when we needed in the draft a tight end?
Here's what I would do.
It defies.
Go ahead, Cuz. What do you got?
It's absolutely stunning to me.
It's insane.
Look, guys, it's pretty simple. You got to have accountability, first and foremost. Our coaching staff doesn't have accountability. Players get to do what they want. You have a guy run his mouth. He doesn't even touch the quarterback, and the coach made it okay. He's an enabler. So you start there. Last six games, let's have accountability. Let's actually put the best players out on the field. Here's a really
go
nice.
Go after them, Glenn. You got to go after your opponents.
I get it.
What the hell do you have to lose?
Let me finish what I'm telling you. How you win a football game, it's pretty simple. You talk about New England. You know what they do really well? They figure out where your weakness is, and they figure out different ways to attack it, whether it's a run or a pass. It's that simple. And that's what coaching is. And on defense, you figure out where that weak link is, and you attack it there to get to the quarterback because, as Ed pointed out, it is a passing league. Those are what you have to do, and you have to have accountability on special teams. You actually have to teach your players the stinking rules on special teams so you understand situations and maybe, just maybe, practice those situations during the week so you're prepared when it happens during the game. That's how you change what you – or that's what you should do the last 6 weeks. Nothing more. All the other stuff, it doesn't matter. You've got six games to do it.
You right. got to go after people.
100%, Ed. And that's attacking the weakness. You had the perfect example last week. The center. He's a third stringer. You are blitzing linebacker and anybody else through that A gap to get to the quarterback. That's what you do. That's simple.
That's the defensive game plan.
It should be. That's what New England does better than anybody else.
Let's get our guy Sam in Burbank on the air here, 720 WGN. Go ahead, Sam.
My question was, who is the middle linebacker, and where is he, and where are the rest of the linebackers charging through the line, breaking it all up? There's nothing there.
They don't blitz him.
Howard, a receiver. Don't we pay other people to be receivers? There's nothing going on there. That's crazy.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate your phone call.
Oh, by the way, Sam, we don't technically have a middle linebacker. It's a 3-4. You've got two
inside backers.
Yeah, there's four linebackers. You got the two inside linebackers.
And they're not the problem.
Yeah, they're not the
Both
problem.
Both of those guys come up with double-digit tackles.
21 tackles today for those two.
And you know what? A lot of this is not really the defense's fault. Obviously, today we didn't get to the quarterback, and, you know, we got the mouth of the South over there that nobody will even mention the fact that he taunted the Giants almost into them wanting to stick it to us, and they did.
He made one tackle.
At the end of the game, a meaningless one.
Hey, Hampton, I'll be with Kaz, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. A lot of people texting in about Bears ownership. We can hit some of that on the way back here. What do you got?
It's not changing. They're going to be your owners.
There was a very interesting article today in the Trib. And since 2010, guys, that wasn't that long ago. That was when the Bears last won the division. They were 11-5 under Lovey. Well, since then, it's all been downhill. And remember, I'm going back to the trajectory of the team, the arrow. Is it up or down? Well, guess what? Since 2010, they listed the 10 most horrible losses by this team. Well, four of the seven worst losses. Now, get this. This has been almost 90 games they've played. 90 football games the Bears have played since 2010, regular season. 90 games, four of the worst seven have been authored by John Fox. Think about that. This is barely a season and a half, and he's already laid out enough stink bombs to basically, you know, camouflage what Tressman did and what Lovey did at the end of his little tenure.
Well, Tressman,
I'm just telling you, this thing it's a sinking ship, and the rats better be run off the boat before we hit the rocks.
Well, Tressman has to have two of them in there. Those back-to-back games, I think it was the Packers.
That was number
in
eight.
New England.
Nine.
Right.
50 points plus put on us. That was unreal.
It's hard to believe that John Fox is actually, though, in reality, making Mark Trestman a distant memory. I mean, he really is.
Almost a fond memory.
Almost want Trestman back.
Remember,
because Fox is this bad.
Last week, before this game, Trestman's record was 11-14. Fox's same record, 8-17. He's three games worse, now four games worse, than the despicable Mark Trestman era. Stick that in your pipe.
Take home a piece of history from the Chicago Tribune. Get your own Cubs memorabilia, including the newspaper from the historic win. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com. That was great.
Hold it. My Lord, is there a shining star out there somewhere? I mean, is there anything we can say positive?
Long for the days of Mark Trestman.
We're going to get a high draft choice.
No, that's a flashlight looking for Fox in the parking lot.
Let's take a quick timeout. Come on back.
Oh, he just called another timeout.
We got drive of the game.
You two guys are entirely too negative.
720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears lose to the Giants 22-16. They're 2-8, and they have the Tennessee Titans at Soldier Field next Sunday noon. Kickoff on the lakefront. The drive of the game, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Click patrickcars.com. It looked good early, Hamp. What do you want to go with?
Well, we're going to go with the opening drive. And you know what? We all wanted to see. After watching a car wreck last week, we were like, okay, what's going to happen? Jay Cutler came out and responded beautifully, making clutch throws. They had a 9-play, 61-yard touchdown drive where they basically had answers. And you know what? They executed. There was protection. There was running. There was crisp blocking, crisp routes by the offensive line, and a wonderful throw and catch for the touchdown to the tight end, Zach Miller. That was a good drive of the game.
Yeah, and they had good balance, too. Jordan Howard got the ball a ton. Cutler was making throws. I thought they looked great at the start. Quarterback comparison sponsored by Westfield Ford. Westfield Ford, where straightforward people and straightforward prices are just a whistle away. Cutler was 17 of 30 for 252 yards, one touchdown.
And battered. And yeah, battered.
Battered and dropped.
Four sacks.
Yeah, well,
he was probably hit 15 times.
Right, he was sacked four times, lost 30 yards. But when I'm saying drops, Jordan Howard dropped
at least eight drops today.
I mean, it was embarrassing how the Bears caught the football today, both on the offensive side and the defensive side. Adrian Amos should have had a pick. I mean, we've discussed
Wilson
this.
Wilson dropped three balls today.
And not only that, he didn't come back to the ball at the end throwing an interception as time ran out.
Yeah, and the interception came at a time when they were in
– It was a moot thing. And so, of course, it's going to affect his rating. But Cutler, as bad as he was last week, he was that good today, but it didn't eventuate into anything.
Right, and he really has no legitimate options that he's throwing the football to. So Jay deserves praise in my mind, and I guess in everybody's mind.
Okay, now that Alshon's out, okay, tell me a receiver core in the NFL that's worse than the Bears. You know, I used to Seattle's. Seattle's is a show pony compared to this.
Yeah, Meredith is the only legit wide receiver right now that they have, or receiver, I should say, that they have.
Meredith, Wilson, Bellamy.
Well, Meredith is solid. He's had a nice season. But guess what? They could double him and it's done. Who else are you going to throw it to?
Eddie Royal looked like a shadow of himself today.
He's still banged up.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess. Sure, give Cameron Meredith credit. I like him.
Our top four receivers on the season, they're damaged goods. Zach Miller's gone now. Both Kevin White, Alshon, out. And Eddie Royal, as you said, he's like a hobbled up old man out there. He can't get open.
So, yeah, it's not –
Are we being too critical, OB? Or do we call things succinctly?
Succinctly?
Yes.
I would say that I would have to agree with you, gentlemen. If we really wanted to bury the Bears, we could do it.
I think we did.
You don't want to know what
they're digging their own hole.
They're the ones doing it. We're not.
Oh, well, that's
we're just telling the truth, right?
And I will never been doing this for quite some time, and to see people, the monies that they make, head coaches, 8, 10, 12, 14 million, 18, 16 million, whatever some of them make, players making 20 million, 25 million, 16, 18 million dollars, linemen, 6, 7, 8 million dollars, and we're going to make excuses for them. It's not going to happen. Not on this show.
What would an Ed Obradovich be worth today on the free agent market, OB? Couple dollars?
It all depends. I had some good years and some not so good years. So in the good times, it would have been a few million. I would assume.
Hampel, could you get OB paid if you were his agent?
Of course, and especially when he brought in an article today that said he was named the second meanest man in pro football in 1968.
Second,
talk about marquee value. That's got
that's worth something.
Who was number one? Who was ahead of you, OB?
As a matter of fact, it was a defensive back for the New York Giants.
Yeah,
yeah, I can't remember the name right now, but that was something.
Should you have been number one?
I got a picture of him trying to twist off a helmet of a 49er on my desk.
You didn't do that, did you, OB?
Any chance he could?
Of course you did, because you that's what the rules were.
Right.
You know, like Doug used to say, when we played, what the rule was, there was no rule.
So you weren't actually like a malicious guy. You were just following the rules.
Oh, exactly.
Right.
That's what it was.
He didn't write the rules. He just followed them.
How to take people down, and that's what we did.
Right.
And that's how we won the world championship.
1963.
You got it.
Because they played aggressive football.
Yes, they did. Well, and that's a given, though. That should be a given if you're going to be a professional football player. You should be aggressive. I'm talking about as a defense.
I'll tell you how aggressive we were back in those years. Doug Buffon had 18 sacks. He's a linebacker. He had 18 sacks. You talk about blitzing, we went after everybody.
Even the opponent coach.
Yeah, if needs be. If it mattered, right?
Buddy, get out of here.
You're next.
Who was crazier, you or Doug, OB, in a good way?
No, when we played, I mean, we had some – mediocre years, some really bad years, maybe one or two good years, one really super, super great year. And I played with a lot of great people. Oh, my God. The great Bill George, our middle linebacker, Doug Atkins, Richie Pettibone, Rosie Taylor, Benny McCray, Bob Witaska, Mike Ditka. We had some players. And you know what we did? We won the world championship, plain and simple. Plain and simple.
Beat the New York Giants, who the Bears lost to today.
You betcha.
Trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovic, jeffvuk.com. Hamp!
Vuk!
Serving our area for 38 years. Nationwide is on your side. jeffvuk.com.
You know, but we're talking about what they've got to do the last six games. And I just repeat what I said a bit ago. They've got to become aggressive. They just, whatever they've got left, they can't sit there and let a defense dictate to them, an offense dictate to them. They've got to go after people. They've got to make a stand. Custer's last stand.
Yeah.
We've got six games, okay? You've got to figure out a way, Fox, to go after people. Don't let them attack you and thump you and beat you. You be the aggressor. You go after those people. You make a statement the last six games. It's enough. Enough is enough already. Make a statement. Go after people.
The only thing he's going to go after is the Bank of Lake Forest.
Yep.
Quit playing hide and seek.
He's going to win that attack, too. Great attack. All right. News is next, and we'll take you around the NFL, give you everything that's going on in the division.
Let us read the news.
312-981-7200 if you'd like to react as well. Is this the low point? Have you ever felt worse as a Bears fan? 312-981-7200, 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
2-8, asking you, is this the low point of your Bear fandom as the Bears fall to the New York Giants 22-16. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. Before we get back to the calls, so real quick around the NFL today, the Vikings improved to 6-4. They end their losing streak, beating the Arizona Cardinals at home 30-24. So a four-game Minnesota losing streak is over. Sam Bradford, 20-28, 169 yards through a touchdown, as the Vikings are now tied with the Lions up top the division. Detroit also a winner today. Detroit is 6-4, which is kind of surprising considering the Bears beat them. 26-19, they beat the also 2-8 Jaguars. Who's better, Hamp, the Lions or the Vikings, if you had to jump
into that? Well, the Lions are in first right now.
Right,
in the division.
Well, we got to go to Minnesota. We got to go to Detroit. We're going to find out.
It's the last two road games of the year. They only have two left, and they're going to Detroit in 3 weeks.
Right, and then Minnesota for the finale. I personally just think the Minnesota defense has a chance to give us the most trouble.
Okay. All right. And who do you think wins the division?
Probably. Don't count Green Bay out. We're going to watch them tonight.
Okay.
We're going to find out.
All right. The Packers are on the field tonight. They're at Washington. Of course, that's your Sunday night game, 7:30 kickoff. A couple calls in here, 312-981-7200. Joe in Plainfield, welcome to WGN.
Hey. Yeah, this isn't my low point because I just don't care anymore. You know, with the series of cardigan sweaters, the disguised as coaches they've dragged through this place in the last couple of years. Who cares?
You know what? And I understand and feel your pain. Here's the deal. Tressman was axe handles to the knees, so we're down. And then now Fox has kicked us in the gut. So, I mean, it's been back-to-back debacles. And we're reeling. And I understand you getting to the position where you go, why would I care about this team when the coach is so incompetent? It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
Joe, let me ask you this. Hold on, Joe. Let me ask you this question.
This is the first game I've watched the entire season because I knew back in August they're no good. So who cares? Why would I invest the time?
Why'd you watch today?
A lot of people just like me.
What made you?
Because I put a lot of points for them to lose, and they pulled it out for me. Let's put it that way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, a little wager on it, huh, Joe?
Well, just a pool, you know.
Okay, I got
they haven't let me down too many times this year.
Well, there you go. All right, Joe, appreciate you. I'm actually kind of curious. What do you think would excite Bears fans more, a new quarterback or a new head coach? What would excite you more, Hamp? Probably a new head coach.
Absolutely a head coach. We saw the quarterback is not the problem. I know everybody wants to scream it. He was last week. Okay, is everybody perfect? No. But all in all, you can win with Cutler if you've got a head coach with brains enough to put people around him. OB just went through it all. Offensive line, gifted receivers. What other people that win, they are able to have.
They got to find them somewhere. But I think what do we have left for the last six games? What do we have left? There's not going to be a massive changeover in personnel. There's not going to be a massive changeover in coaching. What has to change, what can change, and hopefully will change, is philosophy. We're not going to win sitting back and playing scared-to-death football. The only thing that we have left in our arsenal, which we haven't done all year, is be effective. Go after people. Be aggressive. Play after play, quarter after quarter, game after game, the last six games, there you have nothing to lose. Go after them. Go get them. Again, to repeat, we can't get players. We can't get coaches. What do? It has to be a philosophy change, and it's got to be aggressive football as opposed to passive football.
Okay, let me – case in point, and you know, it goes back to coaching. And my assertion that Vic Fangio would be a worthy interim head coach because you want to change the philosophy, you get rid of that guy, a lot of things will change. But let me just tell you this. The first three possessions the Bears had, touchdown, field goal, touchdown. The next eight possessions after the New York Giants made adjustments, we didn't sniff the end zone or even get close enough for a field goal. We missed one. But the next eight possessions, 0 points. Conversely, the Giants, they went touchdown, punt, field goal, touchdown, touchdown, and then Vic Fangio made the adjustments. And I understand, now they had enough points to win. Only six. Hey, a fluke bomb touchdown by the Bears beats them. But Vic Fangio forced the Giants into punt, 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 end of game. So he is still capable of being competent and making adjustments to give us a chance to win. We're just too dumb everywhere else to take advantage of it.
Kaz, you want to answer that question? Coach versus quarterback change? Well, if you could point, if you're the GM, you could.
Oh, that's easy. It's a coach.
Okay. All right. Here, let's get Doug and Wheaton on the board here. Doug, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you. You know, Hamp, to your point, we got a lot of issues to face, but I have to respectfully disagree on Cutler. We have to stop kidding ourselves here. The guy's not getting any younger. He's on the backside of the age curve. He's too up and down. He's not consistent. I mean, just because he possesses the qualities of a good arm doesn't mean he possesses the qualities of a good quarterback. Yeah, he needs to be a leader. He needs to step up, and he just does not have that. He's too late in his career right now to get that.
Appreciate the call, Doug Hampo.
And you make a lot of good points. And you know what? If he would have been a leader, he would have led us somewhere by now. You know, 2010 is a long time ago. That's when they won the division. But he had a defense. He had a pretty decent offensive line. He had some help. Today, you know, we saw an offensive line that was ragtag at the outset, and then it got worse throughout the game with some injuries. So, yeah, you're right. But it's a lot easier to get rid of the coach than find a new quarterback.
Doug, great call. Listen, Doug, what this Chicago Bears need is a change in philosophy. We could talk about getting this quarterback, that quarterback, doing this, doing that. There's nothing going to change. There is nothing going to change until there is a different change of philosophy. Mark my words, that's the difference. We need a different philosophy.
Hey, Hamp, what was your reaction to the Mike Freeman Bleacher Report stuff that came out this week about different guys that he was texting saying the Cutlers lost the locker room? And then Cutler said, put your name on it. If somebody wants to put their name on it, then we can talk. Of course, nobody's doing that.
Nobody's putting their name on it. So what do you think? All I can tell you is this. You ever heard anybody say that about Tom Brady? You ever heard anyone say that about Brett Barr? Any of these, you know? Hey, they're having trouble up in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is, you know, there's whispers and backbiting up in Green Bay. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers is the all-time highest-rated quarterback that's ever played the game. So did somebody, some loser that, you know, wanted to run his mouth, say something? Yeah, but you know what? After you go out and you play the way Cutler did, there's going to be reasons to hear stuff like that. So if Cutler doesn't want to hear it, go out there and play and win, and you won't have to put up with it. But you know what? It's a win, baby, league. If you don't win, then get ready and grow some thick skin.
It's a philosophy. You got to know how to win. You know, people say, well, this player, well, he's changed the way the game is played. Defense, he's changed the way. No. Rules dictate how you play the game. No one player or no certain group of players are going to tell you, they changed the game. They changed the game. Offensively, rules tell you how to play. Rules give you the philosophy of how to play in the NFL.
Kazi, deep thoughts?
No.
Okay. All right. Hey, we got one more segment to go. We'll do our next game preview. It's the Bears and the Titans. We'll update you on the rest of the football games. We're building a bridge to a Super Bowl, and we're starting it today. I don't know when that Super Bowl is coming. I'm just going to turn positive here. And it's easy to be positive when you talk about Mr. Submarine. Add a bag of Frito-Lay chips, Kaz, and an ice-cold RC Cola. Make it a value meal at Mr. Sub. Locations throughout Chicagoland. They're open late at night. Visit MrSubmarine.com. Dive into deliciousness. Wrapping it up next, 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Let's get our next game preview as the Bears will be taking on the Tennessee Titans at Soldier Field. The Titans today lost to the Indianapolis Colts, 24-17. Next game preview.
Spotted them 21 points, though, before they came storming back and came up just a little short.
Next game preview sponsored by Arlington Heights Ford. Number one in what matters most, that is you. OB, you're smiling at the thought of the Tennessee Titans at Soldier Field.
Well, I got.
Don't we have the Clampett's theme we can run underneath this? They're from Nashville, you know.
Deliverance, perhaps.
I'm going to tell you what. I'm just thinking about next week's show. If this team stumble bums itself to an embarrassing loss, or if we barely win the game, what I'd love to hear from the Bear fans after that game. We probably wouldn't have to do anything. All we'd hear is people calling. And I'm telling you something, you're starting to see it now. And when I go out, I'm out all the time, all week. I'm all over the place. And I'm going to tell you, what I'm starting to hear now is sell the Bears.
Sell the Bears.
That's
oh, well,
I'm
that's
hearing.
What everybody
you know,
wants.
That's what people are saying. You know, be that, when are you going to sell the Bears? When are you going to sell? You're hearing it more and more. And that's what happens. When you get pounded like this game after game, year after year, and stupid mistakes are made, that's going to come up.
Well, let me tell you, if you think that this could be a problem next week, let me tell you a little something about Tennessee. Mike Mularkey, the head coach, and he's a tough guy. They've built a pretty good football team. And let me tell you, I think they're a lot better than Jacksonville, who beat us. They're probably, you know, as good as Indianapolis.
Well, they're better than Indy. They lost today, but yeah. They are better than them.
And probably as good as the Giants. I'm just saying, this Marcus Mariota, he's had 23 career games. He's had six of those 23 games where he's thrown at least four touchdowns in them. I mean, this is an offense ready to beat your brains out.
And defensively, they get after you now. I mean, they had a guy suspended this week because he got kicked out of the Green Bay game for roughing up Aaron Rodgers in the end zone.
Boy,
so
well,
this is a tough guy group. I mean, you know, it's going to take – we're going to have to be aggressive, Ed, to beat this team. But we should beat them.
Look at the season, this week, gentlemen. This is a team we should beat.
Yes.
Okay, 49ers a team we should beat. Washington, a team. There's a lot of teams in that 16-game schedule that we should have beat. But I'll tell you what, Tennessee comes in, and again, we're on our home territory, and if we come in and if they take us down in front of our own people again, home field, if Tennessee comes in here and slaps us around and we don't come back, we don't get aggressive, we don't go after him defensively, we don't go after him offensively, I'm going to tell you something, guys. Be ready, because all hell's going to break loose.
Be interesting to see what type of...
I'm ready.
Be interesting to see what type of crowd shows up at Soldier Field on Sunday, the Thanksgiving weekend. The weather
I think they'll be positive, Mark, when they get in there. They'll be full of cheers to let and root them on at the beginning, introduce you to them and whatever have you, but they've got to go. They've got to show that they want to win the football game. They got to go after people.
Yeah, well, and if it gets ugly on the field, they're going to let them know how they feel. That's
oh,
for
yeah,
sure.
They're going to get booed if they don't. If they play like they did in the second half today, they will get booed. No question.
Extremely loudly. All right, guys, have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you back here next Sunday.
Happy Thanksgiving to all our listeners and to you guys and everybody. Great time.
Same to you and all the listeners, Obi.
By the way, I will be dominating on Thanksgiving Day, 9 o'clock in the local Thanksgiving Football League, OB. If you want to come on out and give me some pointers, I'm going to be playing some wide receiver, a little perhaps let me, you know, quarterback for a little bit.
You're gonna actually play a game, an actual game of
yes.
football?
Yes.
Is it flag football, Mark, or touch?
Wait a minute. I mean,
flag or touch?
You're out somewhere playing in a field?
Yes,
touch
absolutely.
Football or flag football?
Right.
Which one is it?
What position do you play?
I mean, I play them all, OB.
What is it, flag or touch? Which one?
It's an aggressive touch, Kaz. You,
okay. No, I'm not mocking you. I wanted to know what you're doing. Yeah, kind
do
of the same kind of game.
You play quarterback?
I know more receiver, but I'll play a little QB. I'll get at least.
You're too short to be a receiver, okay? No, what else you got?
Listen, this is Mark. Mark can wing the ball around.
He's a kicker.
He's an athlete.
I'm taller than Eddie Royal.
You know, hold it.
You could be a good kicker.
You're taking this entirely too personal.
Obi, I had a pick six last year. It was unbelievable.
Honest to God?
Yes.
Did you taunt him holding the ball back as you were scoring?
Why? Maybe you should show up out at Soldier Field.
Well, we are.
Come Sunday, noon.
I mean, the Bears are struggling.
Parachute in.
I mean, you know.
Our secret weapon.
I think I got something
Mark
left.
Carmen.
Couple bullets left in the old holster here, Obi.
I hear you. All right. Happy Thanksgiving,
Happy
everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. All right. Wrap it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, now introducing Mark Carmen. Number 00.
I'm going to hit – my head's going to hit the pillow, and I'm going to think
about
this.
Are you 00? Is that your number?
Who I wear – yes, 00, because that's correct. 720 WGN.